Show is coming to town. The Dusty Flower Pot Cabaret invite you all to attend the 1955 musical extravaganza, The Scarlet Queen of Mercy. This extraordinary theatrical event came from one spark of inspiration. What if our audience was cast as the extras in a B-movie musical? What's more, if you come dressed to the nines in the style of the times, you could be moved to the VIP section or pulled into the action on stage. This is a fully immersive, totally original, and completely unforgettable event. The Scarlet Queen of Mercy will be at the iconic Russian Hall at 600 Campbell Street in Strathcona. Shows run from May 14th to 17th, 21st to 24th, and a holdover possibility for May 28th to 31st. All shows are at 8 p.m.
Good evening and welcome to White Noise. Yes, coming up right away is the White Noise Comedy Show. Coming up straight after that will be the White Noise After Show. It'll be myself, Simon Welton, and I'll be joined by special guest Daryl Brown. So you are listening to the CITR 101.9 FM. We are coming to you from unceded Musqueam territory in UBC Vancouver. We're going to go White Noise right away, but just remember, if you have any questions for myself or Darryl Brown coming up for the after show, make sure you send them in to whitenoiseubc@gmail.com, or you can tweet us at whitenoiseubc. But without further ado, here is the White Noise show.
The following programming contains adult subject matter and some strong language. It is a work of satirical fiction. All characters and advertisements are completely fabricated. Listener discretion is advised.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of White Noise. I'm your host, Richard Blackmore, and tonight's show is brought to you in part by wine for the sophisticated alcoholic. Our first piece tonight is a bit about God.
Oh my goodness! Love, you are not going to guess what just happened.
You finally...
No, I said you're not going to guess, so shut up.
Oh. Okay, what then?
I had a near-death experience, and I found God.
Oh, really? Cool, I guess. Wait, so you're a Christian now?
I've always been a Christian. You don't understand. I found God. He's working at Denny's.
At Denny's?
Yeah, in the kitchen. He's a sous chef.
But, hang on. You said you had a near-death experience.
Yeah, I ate at Denny's.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, but why would God be working at Denny's?
Well, apparently it's one of those undercover boss reality shows. And in a couple of weeks, he reveals it's him. And then he tells them all how he loves poor people.
But why?
I don't know. Maybe having been around for a billion years, he's literally tried everything. I mean, he's already got an iPhone watch, and apparently he's got a 40K resolution telly. He's just properly bored and, you know, needs stuff to do. Oh, and he told me this great joke, but it's a bit racist. I mean, he's from a different generation. You've got to understand.
Well, can we go visit him? I want to meet him.
Well, to be honest, he's not a big fan of you.
He's never met me.
He's God. Of course he's met you. He invented you.
But if he invented me, why doesn't he like me?
Well, you know how parents sometimes love their kids, but they don't like their kids? It's a bit like that, but way more complicated and way over your mortal head. So just accept it. He thinks you were worth inventing. He just doesn't want to have a drink with you.
Well, I guess there's nothing I can do about it.
Exactly. Now, I'm off out again. I just popped back to grab my swimming shorts.
Where are you going?
Oh, just on a friend's yacht. Don't wait up.
Everyone should know, Denny's servers who weren't knights are perhaps the bravest people alive. Next up is a run-in with the Popos.
I believe in a thing called love. Just listen to the rhythm of my heart. Oh, shit, bugger. Oh. Anything, stupid bastard cops. What are those? Get a life, you pointless cretins. Just because you did crap in school. Oh, hello, officer. What can I do for you?
License and registration.
Certainly, sir.
Do you know why I pulled you over?
No, sir. I don't have the faintest idea, to be honest. Though I do apologize if I was doing anything I shouldn't. And might I say, what a lovely outfit you are wearing.
You are doing 50 in a 30 zone, sir.
No, really? I thought I was doing 30 miles an hour, sir.
Yes, but this is Canada, and that sign back there is in kilometres.
Well, there you go, sir. You can see my confusion. I'm just a confused Brit visiting your wonderful country, so there is really no need to give me a ticket.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and write you this fine for $300.
What? Why? A speeding fine is only $150.
Yeah. An extra $150 for bullshitting an officer.
Bullshitting?
Yeah, you might be from Britain or whatever, but a major flaw in your excuse is you have a Canadian driver's license.
Oh, bugger.
Here's your fine. Say hi to the Queen for me.
I will. If you say hi to the Boston Creams for me.
Unlucky, son. Next time, just do what I do when a cop pulls you over. Cry like a little girl. Next up tonight is our favourite underdog, Terence Tripoli.
Dear Diary, last time I wrote, I was completely screwed. I was homeless after being evicted from my apartment. I found refuge that night in a hostel downtown, which began a wonderful adventure, sleeping in a dorm in bunk beds with lovely travellers and also some Australians. I joined in their social activities, which mainly involved drinking and doing a lot of cocaine. I slept quite soundly except for once awakening to tell my bunkmate off for having sex far too loud. I mean, I don't mind that he was having sex with me. I just wanted to be asleep during it. I had a big day planned. My day was, of course, to be taken up with looking for a new place to hang my hat. I would also need to look for somewhere to live. I scanned Craigslist for availabilities. I managed to find quite a few reasonably priced blowjobs, but there would be time for that later. The first housing ad that caught my eye said, "Young gentleman wanted for wrestling and horseplay." That sounded perfect for me. I went and checked it out. The owner was a short, rather aggressive gentleman who insisted on checking I wasn't gay. Just because I turned up still only wearing my tighty-whities, I really needed to go shopping, but, you know, I was busy looking for a place to live. Anyway, once I'd shown him all the straight porn on my phone, he let me see the room. It was quite spacious, but had a bit of a weird smell. Apparently it was previously used for cockfighting, which seems odd to me, as he'd already mentioned he didn't like gay people. He offered me the room right there and then. I was tempted. With its rich cockfighting history, a place like this would be snapped up instantly. But I decided to check out at least a few more places before making a firm commitment. The second place I visited was a basement suite. It was an unusual place. It didn't have any windows. There were all these assortment of chains on the wall. The lock was on the outside of the door only, and there was a rather crude mural on the floor, which just looked a lot like a mess of red paint. The owner was a very old German man who had emigrated here about 65 years ago. Since then, he had used the basement on and off for parties and cooking things. The place clearly was a little rough around the edges, but with a lick of paint, some throw pillows and a rug, the room would really pull together. It could be a home for a young family. The third place I checked out was a bit different to the first two. It was a room in a shared house with two 20-something girls. When I arrived, they were sat in their living room in what most would refer to as their underwear, arguing about who had the better boobs. They asked me to settle it, but I didn't want to play favourites. They both had amazing racks. Both girls work as part-time models, and they spend the rest of the time as brewery promoters. They warned me they might bring their model girlfriends round to hang quite a bit, which does sound a bit of a nuisance. The house has a pool at the back, but it was only a very small one. I mean, it's not even a diving board. The room was spacious, but with one of those annoying four-poster beds. I mean, who am I? A reality TV star? I wish. The price was decent. The place is a 5-minute walk to the fishmongers where I work, but there was no way I could live there. I mean, come on, there was no hardwood floors. It was never going to work. So here I am, diary, in my new, spacious basement suite. I've covered what I now realise was a patch of blood on the floor with a rug. Tomorrow, I do plan to buy a lamp so I don't have to do everything by the light of my phone. And I think finally my new abode will become a home. P.S. I'm pretty sure I made the right decision. P.P.S.
the hit Andrew Lloyd Webber musical.
No, I mean my masterpiece that I wrote 10 years before that abortion of a play made its debut.
Is your Cats also a musical?
No, it's a 3-week-long meta-piece about how biology science is sexist and the root of all evil is fat children.
So, does Flailing Fallacious Phallic Fear follow similar themes?
Of course not. My new piece is about love, retribution, abandonment, hate, and nose-picking.
You are renowned for casting unknown talent. Do you have any hidden gems in mind this time?
Definitely, as there is no cast. The audience is the cast. They will be led onto the stage after the curtain is raised, and then I will begin to manipulate them into performing.
How will you accomplish that?
I will lock the doors and start throwing things at them.
Wow, I don't think anything like this has been done before.
Noel Coward did it in London once, but the 1930s theatre crowd was not ready to be screamed at. You have to remember there was no TV in those days, so theatre had to be really good.
Well, that is all the time we have for today. Thank you for coming in, Mr. Bodur. Unfortunately, for any listeners who wanted to get tickets to Alan's new show, there's bad news. It has already sold out for its entire 10-week run. But there are still tickets left for matinees when the show moves to Damascus in June.
I can't wait. I've always wanted to perform in the beautiful historical country of Syria.
Aren't you worried about all the fighting?
What fighting?
Thank you, Jessica and Alan. Avant-garde theatre isn't for me. There just isn't enough car chases. Next up tonight is A Bit of Science.
Respected investors, before I unveil my creation, I would first like to thank all of you for investing in the world's first real X-ray specs. Especially you, Mr. Hugh Hefner.
My pleasure. You have no idea how long I've been waiting for these.
Well, it has taken quite a few years to get here. We have had our ups and downs. Her first breakthrough, the first time one of my researchers got a tumor, the day the soda machine accidentally gave me 2 Pepsis, but here we are, finally, the world's first fully functional X-ray specs.
So, they really work?
Oh, yes. They work exactly like any typical hospital X-ray machine.
So I can see under girls' tops.
Oh, yes. Well, their bones, at least.
You don't see anything else?
You see a general outline of the body.
Ugh. No nipples?
No, of course not. These are X-ray specs. Ugh. X-ray technology does not have that application.
Are you kidding me?
And a word of warning, guys. If you wear the X-ray specs for more than 5 minutes a day, you will definitely get eye cancer. I didn't even know that was a thing.
What are you doing, Hefner? Surely a man with as much money as you could afford most people's price for taking all their clothes off. Mine is $243.43. Cash or check is fine. Finally tonight is another letter from the eccentric, wealthy traveller, Henry Shufflebottom.
Dear Mummy, I'm writing to you sitting in a coffee shop in Amsterdam. Apparently, these places sell drugs. But I couldn't see any, so I just ordered these expensive raw mushrooms everyone else seems to be enjoying. They tasted awful, but I ate the whole bag just to be polite. That was about 40 minutes ago, and now I'm just enjoying a cup of coffee and the view of the greatest city on earth. Amsterdam is full of every kind of imaginable style and attitude, and best of all, no one bats an eye at any peculiarity perceivable. Yesterday, as an experiment, I walked around only wearing a thong. Nobody looked at me twice. I had a 40-minute conversation about the weather with a 75-year-old woman in a baker's. Mind you, she was taking her gimp for a walk. When I arrived 2 days ago, I was shocked to see so many canals and boats. If global warming is true, these people are fucked. That's odd. I'm starting to get little traces in my eyesight as I write. Anyway, I checked out the Anne Frank Museum. Not much to look at. I mean, They had a lot of free time hanging about in that attic. You think they could have bothered to decorate a bit better, do a bit of art on the walls or something. Madame Tussauds was amazing. I can't believe it's so cheap to meet so many famous people. It's a shame they all ignore the public, though. I mean, famous people are just so stuck up. Wow, now I'm really starting to feel interesting. I never realized how funny this table is. Maybe I should end this here. I think I can see God. Lots of love, Ickle Henry.
Thank you, Henry. Hopefully we will hear more from Henry soon, as long as he hasn't melted his brain. That's our show. Join us again for more White Noise.
White Noise was written and directed by Simon Welton, featuring the voice talents of Connor Nashelpa, Sierra Wiley, Victoria Bass, and Simon Welton. Music and sound effects by Max Cheers.
Last night, I left the bar. I was thirsty, and I don't drink wine. I was desperate. I needed blood. I turned to the only place I could. The only place that could possibly help me.
Hello, Canadian Blood Services.
Hello. I need some blood. A, positive or negative, it doesn't matter.
I'm sorry, we're all out of A positive and negative. Would you like some O instead?
No. No, that won't do. Thank you. Good night. Save me. Save yourself. Give blood. Voluntarily.
This message was brought to you courtesy of the Canadian Blood Services and CITR Radio 101.9 FM.
All right, there you go. That was the White Noise show. I swear that last one wasn't mine. That was a legitimate advert. I thought it was quite good. So definitely go and donate some blood if you enjoyed that last actually real advert. But anyway, coming up right away is, of course, the White Noise after show with myself, Simon Welton, and special guest Daryl Brown, who will be joining us very, very shortly. But first, we're going to play a track, let you guys go to the bathroom, do your hair, whatever you need to do, make a cup of tea, and come right back, and we'll have a little chit-chat with Daryl.
That build all the guns, that build the death planes, that build the big bombs, that hide behind walls, that hide behind desks. I just want you to know I can see through your mask. I just want you to know I can see through your mask. Then you turn and run farther when the gospel is fine. Like Jesus of old, you lie and deceive. A world war can be won, want me to believe. But I see through your eyes, like I see through your brain. The water that runs down my drain, like I see through the water that runs down my drain. Yeah. Now listen to this. Why you passing the triggers for the others to fire? Then you sit back and watch as the death count gets higher. Hide in your mansion as the young people fly. Those are the bodies and he's buried in the mud. Those are the bodies and he's buried in the mud. Well, you know the worst fear that can never be hollow. Fear that brings him down into this world. For threatening my baby, I'm born in your name. You ain't with the blood that runs in your veins. You ain't with the blood that runs in your veins. How much do I know to talk out of town? You must say that I'm young, must say I'm alone. But there's one thing I know, though I'm younger than you, even Jesus would never forgive what you do. Even Jesus would never forgive what you do. Let me ask you a question. Is your money the good? Will it buy you forgiveness? Do you think that it could? I think you will find when your death takes its toll, all the money you made will never buy back your soul. All the money you made will never buy back your soul. And I hope that you die and your death will come soon. Follow your casket on a pale afternoon, and I'll watch while you go on down to your deathbed, and I'll stand on your grave till I'm sure that you're dead. And I'll stand on your grave till I'm sure that you're dead. And I'll stand on your grave till I'm sure that you're dead.
Thank you.
raining.
Firehall Art Center's God and the Indian explores one of Canada's darkest chapters, the residential school system. Celebrated playwright Drew Hayden Taylor's Black Humor illuminates this heartbreaking story of a Cree woman who cannot escape her past, on from May 20th to 30th. See firehallartcenter.ca for details.
Known pimp, narcotics king, big time racketeer, back in full force.
This could be one of the big moments in your life. Don't make it your last.
Look, this thing might be bigger than even we think it is.
Do you need an upgrade to the soundtrack to your life? Perhaps a song from a film or a tune from TV? My name is Gap. Exploding Head Movies is here to give you sounds from the cinema, along with the songs that will be defining your future. Those forgotten classics that need a little rescue.
Yeah. Come on, baby. Come on. I won't let you down. Follow me.
Exploding Head Movies. Monday, 7 to 9 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
tower until it's soaked and freezing. But just because I let you kill Tom Bangle and me from the quarry doesn't mean that I won't land on my feet.
Yeah. here on News 101.
Right here on News 101.
Right here on News 101.
What motivated you to become a candidate in the provincial election?
The media portrayal of last week's protest that resulted in polarizing images of black-clad activists taken to the streets.
He was just explaining to us the reason why they wanted to show this film on campus.
The official stance is that we are for the Olympics.
News 101 reporter Brad Pepping was there.
By discriminating against homeless people in Vancouver, there's a disproportionate impact on Aboriginal people as well as people with disabilities.
I was pretty outraged. I mean, it is outrageous.
In-depth coverage from an alternative perspective. News 101 is Vancouver's only live, volunteer-produced student and community newscast, bringing you local, national, and international news from an alternative perspective. Tune in Mondays and Fridays at 5 p.m. right here on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. Live streaming and podcasts are available online at citr.ca.
Hello, 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 hello. We are back in the studio now with the lovely Daryl Brown. He's finally found us. He was having a little bit of trouble, but he's made it. Thank you for coming in, Daryl.
Thank you for having me, man. This is the most complicated campus I've ever been on. Don't do dabs on the way.
So, I think that's a good lead into my next question is, so, you know, what have you been up to lately, Daryl? What have you been doing?
Oh, man, I've been, you know, telling dirty jokes. And painting a lot, which is pretty good to do when you're stoned, because you can sit down.
Yeah?
Yeah, standing up comedy and sit down painting. It's good.
Sounds like a nice combination.
Yeah.
So balance the day.
Ying and yang.
So, yeah, I mean, I always like to get into a bit of, like, everyone's sort of philosophy of comedy, why they do it, what, you know, why the hell do they put themselves through it? So let's start with that with you. Like, why what is it about comedy that makes you get up and just want to do it every single day?
You have to.
Yeah.
Have to. It's therapy that I can't afford for real, so that's my therapy. I suppose. I don't know.
Well, what's therapeutic about it, though? Is it the applause or is it the,
No, it's I don't know, I get stigmatized as this crazy stoner, but really it's not that bad. Try some drugs out. So it's like open some minds to some new shit.
Is it one of those things maybe where it's just better to let it out rather than keep it in? You just feel better because you've said it rather than actually, you know, it's a bit like women want you to listen, they don't want you to tell them to, how to fix their problems. Like, that's not what they're after. Is that what it is, maybe?
Yeah, in a way. Well, in a way, of course it is. Of course it is. But it's also just like it's a good platform to be able to like let some new people in that are really closed off to the world. They just want to pick a fence in a house, and there's so much more out there.
But do you think they could get that out of it? Do you think you do?
Some do. Yeah, I definitely get weird emails months later after a show that are. I don't know if they're more suicide notes than anything, but they're pretty interesting to read where, you know, tried some stuff that they were scared to do. And I don't know. Why not? Life's too short.
Are you still a big advocation of the DMT?
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody needs to try that.
I think maybe we should chat a little bit about that because a lot of people still don't know about it. And they're still, you know, I know this is something you're very passionate about. So let's have a little chat about that.
Dimethyltryptamine. It's a... I don't know, it's a psychedelic, it's the strongest psychedelic that we've found so far, and it's just an ego death all at once, a humbling experience that everybody should kind of take a peek at. I don't know, it shows you that maybe this isn't it, but what this is pretty good.
I know there's a lot of that sort of linking it to religious experiences, like, you know, people feel like they see God or whatever when they're there. But I mean, I wonder whether that is more that when you nearly die, your body releases a lot of DMT, presumably. And so when people survive that, they then go, oh, I, you know, had this religious experience. And really, it's just a hallucinogenic experience of your body coping with the, you know, your own mortality, which is something we just completely ignore the rest of our lives and somehow don't go mad.
True, but who's to say it's not as well? I don't know. It's a pretty consistent trip. Every time you touch it, it's another place. It's not just... I don't know. It's hard to explain. It's a weird one, but it's definitely something that people need to look into a little bit more. We can't study it or anything like that because of the legality issues, but...
Well, but what I've learned in the last couple of years is that it is very commonly still used to prepare ayahuasca and different things that are used in religious experiences in the Amazon in a lot of different tribes.
It's in tens of thousands of things already. It exists in us already, which is kind of, we don't know why or what for, but I don't know. It seems to bring you to a place, but people need to relate those trips to things that they already know, so putting it on a religious experience or whatever is just kind of relating what the fuck just happened to you.
Well, it's almost kind of ironic in that, you know, in our religion, for me, it almost seems like perhaps it comes from a lot of issues with human ego where we want to know the truth and we want to believe that we understand everything because it's scary not understanding everything.
Yeah.
And so then when you have this other experience, you can't rationalize. Yeah, you just throw it in that with that little bundle of things that you go, oh, well, I understand it now, when really I haven't got a bloody clue.
Yeah, no, exactly. Exactly. I don't know. It's one of the things that when I first touched it, it was in a weird kind of situation where three people tried it for the first time, never really knew. We didn't know what it was, really, just heard of it. And all three of us kind of either furthered their career or changed completely to find exactly what they wanted to do within the year. And I've dosed a few hundred people over the last couple of years, and most of them have had a enlightening change of life, a different understanding on everything.
And have they all been artistic sort of endeavors?
No.
Or has it been very varied?
All walks of life, all points in life, extremely good places in their life and extremely low, worst place you could imagine place in their life. And they all kind of explain similar things, but years later, it still has the same effect from one experience.
But if it's years later, that makes it even harder, I think, to make that correlation. You know, it's just, it's hard to make that causality.
Yeah.
There's such a large gap.
It's true. No, no, no. I don't mean, like, cause it. It's still occurring. Still occurring years later.
Oh, so you're saying that the effects have lasted that long.
Yeah.
I see. Okay.
I don't know. It's the strangest one I've done, and I've tried pretty much everything.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is there anything that comes close to
you
it?
You gotta try. Not really. Salvia, in a way, it's 100% hallucination as well, but I've never really learned anything from it.
Yeah, because people always use that as the counter to it when you try and explain it. Yeah. Like, oh, but I've tried salvia.
That's just like putting your brain in a blender.
Yeah.
I've never really gotten much from it. It's terrifying.
Yeah.
But DMT I recommend to everybody. All the time. Constantly. You need... Just do it.
And have you still taken it lately? Have you still continued taking
it? Yeah, it's been a couple months, but usually over 3 or 6 months, I'll give it a reboot.
And do you notice the difference, like, the day after from how
yeah.
you felt a week before? Absolutely.
Yeah, you wow. just don't put up with bullshit. Like, the world is full of bullshit. Why bother putting up with it when you got your own shit going on?
Damn.
You know?
All right, well, we're not far from finished, so why don't we just have a quick chat about... I know you've got a show coming up, you remember.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I'm next performing at Laugh Lines